want to be liked, but when we need everyone to like us, we put not only our mental and emotional health in danger, but begin to forget the truth about who we are and where our worth comes from. Spoiler alert, it's not what other people think of us. In today's pod, we get honest about the cost of hustling for validation and talk about the traps of people-pleasing and perfectionism that go hand-in-hand with the need to be liked. We share hard truths and some tips for loving and embracing who you were created to be. Thanks for being here. Hi, I'm Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill.
Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. Crystal and I are here with you today.
Hi.
We are doing these in a row today, and we are just like getting pummeled with the pain of life growth.
Yeah, we're going to have to re-listen to all these as they come down.
Yes, this is just like a marathon of all the ways Becky and Crystal need to change and grow.
We really do. Which is why we chose this season or this series for this season as well.
And we want it for you.
Yeah.
We don't want you to carry around stuff you don't need to carry.
No. I mean, I know since you've started this how much I have grown and how much I've tried to work through things. So,
yes.
These are great topics that we've been talking about today.
Doesn't mean they're easy.
Nope, I got that last one on my mind still. But
yes, we just got finished talking about control. If you haven't listened to that one,
yep. And I
brace yourself.
You know, I love your definitions there. Oh. They're my favorite. But then she comes and hits me with the definition of not what control is, but what a control freak is.
Oh,
so
boy.
Way to bring it home, Becky.
That's what I'm here for.
I know.
And now we're going to grow in a whole new way. Let's see what unfolds in this half hour.
I know. I'm. Let's throw it at me here.
We are letting go of our need to be liked.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. We want to pretend that it's not.
Oh, but it, or that it's something we outgrow once we're through high school. Like, no.
It doesn't.
No.
I'd like to say it got better, but it probably didn't when you're going to tell me the definitions and the truth.
Right?
Here.
I'm going to,
punch. I know, for real.
Like, okay, but being liked is a normal human desire.
It is, absolutely.
We want to be liked. That's very normal.
Yeah, I think that it is. I think that there's actually some form of a little bit of healthiness that so that we can come together as a
social
society.
Belonging. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, everybody prefers approval to criticism.
Yeah.
Right? That's very normal. And we feel really good when somebody likes us, notices us, compliments us.
Right.
But what happens when that validation wears off?
You're going to tell me.
Mm-hmm. What happens when our world is thrown into a tailspin when that one person isn't paying attention to us?
Oh, yeah.
When it becomes a need, this is when it's a problem, not a like. When it becomes a need, we start to people please, hustle for approval,
right.
Get rid of our boundaries, and do our very best to fit in instead of being the person we were created to be.
Not good.
No. It's a big problem. It's hurting us.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready for definitions?
I thought I was ready last time. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm starting with the definition of the need to be liked.
Okay. Yeah.
This is from Psych Central. A state of being dependent on other people and a preoccupation with people pleasing. But if you need to be liked, you're going to have to be a people pleaser.
Right.
You're 100% going to have to be a
like
people pleaser.
That's like dependent. You're dependent on others.
Yeah.
None of us want to feel that we are.
No, we do not.
Okay.
In another article, they put it this way. A fear of being rejected that's severe enough to interfere with work, school, or any other type of social setting.
Yeah.
You're changing who you are. You're being a chameleon.
Which I'd love to say was like high school.
It's not.
It doesn't end.
It does not end.
It doesn't end there.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, wow.
All right. These are traits. Now, today's list of traits is inspirational.
Okay, good.
I know. It's like,
okay.
I try to balance. So it's like, okay, we feel guilty. And then it's like, yes, hope. Da, da, da.
Okay.
These are traits of someone who doesn't need to be liked.
Okay.
Okay. They're confident.
Okay.
That's, you know, feels like a no-brainer, but I want to be confident.
Yeah.
Understands that their needs and preferences matter.
Ooh, yeah.
For a people pleaser, that's real tough.
Yeah, it is.
But let me just tell you this straight up. Your needs and preferences matter.
They do.
Whoever you are listening, mm-hmm. yes, I mean you.
Right.
And I know people who genuinely believe theirs don't, or that they matter less.
Right.
It's not true. Not needy, driven by improvement. Oh, that's two things. Not needy.
Okay.
We all kind of know what the needy
right.
person looks like. Okay. Driven by improvement, not perfection.
Okay.
Because perfectionism is a people-pleasing quality.
Right. And it's not possible.
No, it isn't. You will not be perfect at anything ever.
No.
Except at being imperfect. I like this. Someone who doesn't need to be liked talks about ideas, goals, and aspirations instead of other people.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. I would way rather be about somebody who's talking about what excites them than about what, you know, Mary in accounting's doing.
I know.
I don't know why gossip feels so attractional.
But I would, it's terrible.
It's terrible. I would way rather be about somebody who's talking about their aspirations.
Right.
Like, that's exciting. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's definitely do that. Okay. This is one we've talked about on the pod many times that we're not great at, but we're all working on it.
Right.
They have boundaries.
Yes.
And I've seen all four of us work towards
making improvement.
Yes. We all at least know and recognize we need them.
Right.
Yes. Inc.com said this, and I put, thanks for backing me up. They know and act on their why.
Awesome. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is, and I'm going to take steps that support that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one, especially going into a certain season that makes mm-hmm. me unhappy. They understand that it's okay to disagree.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're not disagreeable.
Right.
But but being okay with differences in opinion is not a thing right now. Hmm. Like, most people are not okay to sit across from someone who has a difference of opinion.
Right.
I mean, even about the smallest things we've joked on here, like chunky versus smooth peanut butter.
Right.
But it can feel like that's what it is.
Right.
Like, what? You like nuts?
You know, peanut butter, although it's not really mm-hmm. a nut, but we're
neither a pea nor nut. Discuss. SNL. Okay. Not crippled by constructive criticism.
Oh, okay.
You have to have it if you want to grow.
We really do. We really do.
Especially if it's being offered, A, by someone whose job it is to give it to you.
Right.
Or by someone who knows you and loves you.
Right.
It's one thing if it's the stranger on the street.
Oh, well, then that's,
let that go.
We can't really consider that.
Close friend, mm-hmm. family member, or, you know, like I was a teacher mm-hmm. and my principal would come and observe me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was her job.
Right.
To give constructive criticism of ways you could improve.
Right.
And isn't that the goal?
Yes.
Remember one time she was like, you take this way better than most of the others. I'm like, well, I don't ever want to get to a place where I think I'm the best I could be.
Right.
What would be the point of that? Now, when it's other people, it's not my job. Not afraid to be themselves.
I like that.
I do too. And I would rather get to know the real person.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this one comes from a book that I love. It's controversial in places. It's worth reading and taking everything with a grain of salt. It's called The Courage to Be Disliked.
Okay.
And I've talked about this on a pod like way back in season one. Now, everybody, when you meet, they talk about this principle. Like, let's say you meet 10 people.
Right.
Okay. And one of those 10 is going to just really love you and connect with you.
Right.
Establish a great relationship. 7 will be ambivalent.
Right.
And 2 will dislike you.
Okay.
Most of us focus on the 2.
Right.
So this says, you know, focus on the 1.
I was like, for real? You've got one that you've like really connected with.
Yeah.
You're like on the same level, really, really hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't why would you care about those two?
Yeah, why would you care about? And it might be that two love you and one hates you, but
it's
whatever.
Probably
like
that.
Yeah, because I put focus on the two, not the seven or the one. But yeah, seven are going to be ambivalent and one's going to dislike you, but two are going to be solid, good relationships. But we don't think about that.
Right.
Like, well, I have to win this one person over.
Which you're probably not ever going to do. And you're going to spend so much energy and risk the ones that you can have solid relationships with.
Why do we have to focus all of our attention on, yes, this 10% of people that you encounter aren't going to like you, and that's life.
Yeah.
Do you like everyone you meet?
No.
Like, no, I don't either, and neither does anyone. Right? I mean, like,
right.
We don't like everyone we meet. We don't like everyone we have to interact with regularly. No.
We need to be respectful.
Exactly.
You know?
You're civil and you get over it.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
How did we get here? We have an I am what you think of me identity.
Okay.
Psychology Today referred to this as a contingent self-worth.
It's so terrible.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that with that contingency, like I matter based on what other people think. That is garbage. But
the worst part is we are making up the storyline of what we think other people think of us.
Yes. We were talking about that earlier today. Like, oh, well, she didn't answer that text because she's at home hating me.
Yeah.
No.
She was feeding her kids, giving them a bath, reading them a nighttime story.
They didn't wish me a happy birthday on Facebook because we're not actually friends. Like, all of these stories, or they didn't invite me to this because of the, like, no. And whatever it is, whatever the reason is, your worth doesn't hinge on anybody's approval.
No, it doesn't.
I do not like that contingent self-worth. But we've all felt it.
We do, or have.
Mm-hmm. We feel real high and real low based on our social life at any given time.
Right.
It's poo. Childhood. for everyone, I'm like, fear, childhood. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, this
true.
One.
Most of them.
Mm-hmm. I think me and you will identify with this aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
So whether at school with our teachers or at home with our parents, every kid learns what made you the most pleasing.
Right.
Or what behaviors got you more of what you wanted.
Right.
So we started adapting to please very early on,
yeah.
Right? Like, I know when I do this, I get the sticker and I get the teacher's approval and how to be the favorite. And,
right.
But we see this. We see babies do this.
Mm-hmm.
We see the cutie little boys at our church do this at dinner. They know what gets a laugh. And then they'll do it repeatedly because, oh, well, that pleased him. Ben and David have this thing where they do this little dance shimmy.
Yeah. I would have never put that together, but you're right.
Mm-hmm. We learned so early on.
I mean,
what makes people like us?
That's been going on for a while.
Since we were babies.
Yeah. Wow.
Uh-huh. I mean, and you see that with little kids. Like, you know, if your kid makes an inappropriate joke, you know, if you laugh,
yeah,
they're going to do it forever.
Uh huh. But I've never put that in the box of people pleasing.
Mm hmm. Well, I learned this got me a laugh.
That is so interesting.
Mm-hmm. It made a lot of sense. Once I start to treat these, my studying time as therapy time. It's like
it is kind of therapy if we're honest, right?
Uh-huh. It's like that's a lot to unpack. Like, how far does my rabbit hole go? I mean, because when I was a kid, I learned, being high achieving, that's when I got the most praise and attention.
Right.
So why do you think I am the way I am now?
Yeah.
And why do I feel low when something doesn't work out great?
Right.
Ah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, for some kids, it went deeper than this.
Yeah.
And you learned early on that love was conditional and something you had to work for.
Right.
Which nobody should feel that.
No.
And real love is not conditional.
Right.
Okay. How do we get to number three? We are approval seekers.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Dr. Robert Leahy said, we need to start. Oh, this one is tough. We need to start normalizing disapproval because it relieves us of the massive pressure we carry to be approved of by everyone we meet.
Wow.
Said that way.
Can you read that one more time?
Yeah. We need to start normalizing disapproval because it relieves us of the massive pressure we carry to be approved of by everyone we meet.
That's true. Uh-huh.
He goes on to say, if everyone has someone who doesn't like something that he or she says or does, and they still survive and thrive, then why would you be the one person who has to have universal approval?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Why does it have to be you?
It doesn't.
No.
Doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, people are always like, you can't please everybody. You're not a taco. But there are people who don't like tacos.
Which is crazy.
I know. But like, there's nothing that everyone universally agrees right. on. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You want some truth? Here it comes. I think I need some. I know. The need to be liked will leave you feeling more rejected.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because you can't put your happiness and sense of okayness in someone else's hands.
You can't do that.
They're not good hands. They're not Allstate. I put, come see confirmation bias in action. Yeah. Because you're just going to be watching and waiting for ways that they dislike you or they're going to reject you, and then you're going to find it.
But it's so much in our head. It's so much of our own narrative, too, though.
Mm-hmm.
We add to it.
I'm trying to remember if I said it in my tips. I'm going to say it now. One thing we told our kids recently is to go into any social situation with this mindset. Expect that they're going to like you.
Oh, interesting.
And then you're going to look for that evidence.
Yeah, I love it.
And then you walk into a room with a different
You're going to actually have more confidence.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually going to really change things.
Mm-hmm. And then you're reminded like, oh, I do have something to offer.
Because I'm a watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand back and I watch and I have to judge in certain areas if people are safe or unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that would really be, that's, you know. Yeah.
Like I always say on here, like, if you don't believe me, I dare you. Try it, see what happens.
Huh. I like that. That's really mm-hmm. smart. Thank you.
Okay. Truth number two, there is a cost.
Mm-hmm.
ShaulaRichards.com said, the saddest part of needing to be liked are the countless sacrifices you'll have to make in the attempt to reach the impossible goal of being universally liked. You can give up your dignity, your time, your values, your interests, and your own personal growth. We don't like to talk about that.
And not could, but you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that a good trade-off?
No.
I mean, when you think about it, when you really lay it out like that, is that worth it?
But and still universally liked, it's...
It's never
going to happen. Nobody actually knows you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be probably more in that middle category of mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, you know, I like them, mm-hmm. but
yeah, it's ambivalence.
They're not my people.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not a cost I want to pay.
Not at all.
A conscious rethink said it this way. The issue is that people who want to be liked by everyone may not bring their full personality forward.
How could you?
Right. Exactly. Instead, they may do things like allow themselves to be treated poorly so they can be accepted by the person who doesn't like them. That's not worth it.
That is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Yeah.
We can also put up with things that hurt us or continue to stew in our own hurt feelings because we're scared to speak up or rock the boat by letting someone know they hurt our feelings. If I tell them that they did something that hurt my feelings, they might stop liking me. And they might.
But you're going to stew in those feelings. So mm-hmm. what is the risk?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seen that
but
too.
We've all done it. We do things like this. Like
mm-hmm.
it's so, I think because we're grown-ups now, we've dealt with all kinds of hurts in our past mm-hmm. that I think that we don't have time to waste.
Right.
For some of these things.
Yeah.
And it's just a life stage, mm-hmm. right? Of just how you move into life. But I'm sure that's not probably the case for everybody.
Yeah.
Stewing your own
hurt feelings.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah. And going along with that, we can also live without boundaries and agree to things we don't want to agree to. We go along with things we're not okay with, all for approval. You know, and we'd like to think, again, that's peer pressure.
I was going to say, I was like, previously, I probably wouldn't have put it as that. I was like, I don't have a problem with that until I don't know what podcast we did. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This goes beyond the peer pressure of high school and go along with it. No, that's, like, well, I mean, gossip's a great example.
I hate gossip.
We sit and we tolerate it and we go along with it because we want to be accepted by this group of women.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit here and I'm not going to speak up and I'm not going to turn the conversation away.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I came up with. Ooh, here's another truth.
Ooh, that face is...
I know.
That face is not bring confidence in something I want to hear, but it's obviously something I need to hear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we've talked before, like, when we resist the most.
Okay. Like, okay. Punch me, Becky. Punch me.
Approval is a drug.
I was not expecting that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, it's addicting.
Yeah.
And it's horrible for you.
Yes.
It damages your physical and mental health like a drug.
We pay high prices for it.
Uh-huh. And it's super addicting. Like, very hard to cut the habit.
Oh, man.
It's a drug.
Okay.
For a lot of us, it's our drug of choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's a truth that you won't like, but it's true and we need to accept it. You are not for everyone.
No. I'm actually so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it doesn't
hurt. It doesn't, yeah. It doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on the flip, like, everyone is not for me.
No.
I mean, and you can usually tell within a few interactions. Like,
you can.
But usually I move to people to the ambivalent category where I'm like, yeah, they're fine. We're not going to be close.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
You're not meant to be close with everyone.
No.
We can't handle that. Mm-mm. Advice. Advice.theshineapp.com. I don't know. They said this. I love this. The very qualities that make you likable to one person are the exact same qualities that will make you unlikable to another.
Super true. So we'll never be able, I mean, we already know that in our head, but we don't always feel that. That's interesting, yeah.
Isn't it? I put an example. So, like, I personally tend to be drawn towards people that have a quieter, calmer energy.
Yeah.
But this quality that I love, others would find boring and blah.
Yeah.
As they go looking for people with the louder, charismatic energy that tends to turn me off.
Fair.
So, yeah.
Okay.
You are not for everyone.
Yeah. I don't want to be for everyone. Yeah. I don't have enough energy and time.
Needing everyone to like you skews your confirmation bias.
Okay.
Okay. So going back to my tips, when you need everyone to like you, going back to my definitions here, maybe traits. When you need everyone to like you, you're focused in on the one or the seven, the one who doesn't like you or the seven who are ambivalent.
Okay.
And when you're zeroed in on the one person who isn't jumping up and down to be your friend, you start to let that change the story you tell yourself in your head.
Yeah.
Because you're focused on this one person that doesn't like you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're right.
Mm-hmm. And now your story is, people don't like me. I'm unlikable. I'm mistreated by everyone.
Oh, no.
Are you? Or is it this one person?
And you had these two that, like, you connected with that are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're your... Go for those people.
Those people. And then, you know, we talked about confirmation bias. You're going to start looking for all the evidence. Yep. And you start to see things that aren't there.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, you'll make it there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because your reality will align.
Mm-hmm.
Always because does. Your personality will change. And the kind of person you are changes.
Oh, man.
And over time, you start misinterpreting things the two, you said, the people who genuinely do like you do. And you'll spin their behaviors to match the story you've told yourself that no one likes you.
No.
But because you're so focused on this one, why won't this one person like me? Why aren't they accepting me? And then you're going to start changing. Oh, well, if this person didn't text me back right away, I guess they weren't really my friend.
I'm so sad about this.
But we all do it.
Yeah.
It's holding you back.
Okay.
You live smaller than you have to when you're driven by approval and people pleasing.
Right.
It makes you so narrow.
Yeah.
You can't explore your weird, nerdy hobby or
uniqueness.
Yes. And why are we putting ourselves under the basket when we are the girl on the hill, not meant to be hidden?
I love the quirkiness.
I do too. They're the best people.
Yeah.
I don't want the plastics.
I don't either.
I don't.
I didn't want them when I was young. I don't want them now.
I know. I want the real, mm-hmm. real deal person.
Let's have a real conversation.
Yes. About your goals and aspirations.
Yes.
Yes. Truth that I didn't mess up with commentary. You'll never feel secure mm-hmm. as long as you're dependent on approval.
Yeah. How can you?
Yeah. Broken world, broken people.
Okay.
Here's the most important truth. Your worth does not change.
So true.
We do not live like we know that.
We don't.
Intellectually, I know that.
Right.
Bible story Becky knows that. The Shine app puts it this way. We have to untangle our worth from the likes.
Okay.
Our worth is not fluid. It is not on a sliding scale. It never diminishes. That may be harder to hear and accept. It doesn't go up when more people like you. What other people think has no bearing at all on our worth as a human.
Which I'm so grateful for.
Right?
But I, wow.
But I think we do live like we will be worth more if we can get more people to like us. If we can get more people to heart our picture on Instagram. I want some tips.
I think I need some tips here.
Okay. I like this. Sometimes my tips make me happy. I'm like, I want to listen to my own advice.
Wait, you should.
I know. I give great advice.
I hope that you do.
Not so much following. I try. Okay. Start doing the things that you love.
Yeah.
That drive you, that light you up.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we don't because we're worried about opinions, approval, acceptance, fitting right. in, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Just focus on you. Do what lights you up.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you happy? I love that. Not what makes Sarah Beth like you more.
Right.
Who cares? Let her do her thing. When you're about to make a decision, mm-hmm. join in, etc., ask yourself, who am I doing this for?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Is it for you? Is it for the betterment of a group or an organization? Or right. is it so that Kevin likes you? Do one small thing every day that's just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Something that is not driven by approval, likes on social media, or fitting in. Mm-hmm. Just for you. The Shine app gave me a few ideas, and I felt like they were really relatable, so I'm going to share them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's watching that Netflix movie for teenagers for the 10th time. Or even though your friends think it's garbage.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's remixing that daily task so it feels more you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's even belting Halo with the windows down and laughing at the looks from people in cars around you.
Guess what's going through my mind uh-huh. now?
I am Beyonce. Always. Okay. This one you need to hear. I need to hear. Spend less time on social media.
Absolutely.
It only feeds your feelings about being liked and your worth being tied to approval and attention.
Right. It's so bad.
It is so bad. And that's what we told our daughter. We mm-hmm. let her get Facebook, but we're like, listen, no, straight up, we think this is a terrible idea and your mm-hmm. feelings are going to be hurt.
Right. And especially
because my feelings get hurt as a 40-year-old.
I was like, as a younger person, uh-huh. because you've learned how to regulate a little mm-hmm. bit more
yeah.
as you gain life.
But my feelings
experience.
Are hurt on social media almost every day. Spend less time.
I don't post anything, so my feelings aren't hurt.
I know. It's sad. I only get to see your life when your sister posts. I know. And I'm like, ooh, Crystal posts
as
her sister.
You didn't recognize me in a picture.
Stop comparing your friend pool to someone else's friend pool.
Okay.
We've talked about this before with capacity.
Yes.
People's capacity for friendships they can maintain are different.
Right. Mine's not large.
I can't maintain 20, 30, 50 close friendships. Yeah. I got about a one-hander.
Yeah.
Of people I can care about intensely.
Right.
There's more people I care about than five.
Yes, of course. I get that.
You know, and that I know what's going on in their life.
Get that.
Yes. But like close friendships?
Yeah.
And we've told that. I've said that to my kids too. Like TV, movies and stuff, they lie. You do not need 20 best friends to be happy. You need one or two people that care about you.
You can't afford all the things that they do. You can't afford their apartments, and you're not going to look like they do.
No, and it's not as easy to meet people and bond immediately like they show. Like, no, you don't just, the boy at Walmart doesn't come over and start talking to you and then you fall in love. It doesn't have, that's not.
What movies are you watching? Oh, Walmart?
That was Superstore last night. Oh. I was like, oh, that connected real easily. And like, that doesn't happen to people.
Huh.
So just don't compare, yeah, period, is good life advice.
Good advice.
But yeah, your friend pool doesn't need to look like their friend pool.
It's not going to.
No, they're a different person than you are. Remember that most of the time, it's more about them than you.
Right.
When they don't like you, most of the time, now for some of you, if you, the people that no one likes, maybe it's about you.
Somebody likes them.
Somebody. But a lot of the time it is. It might just be that quality where you just, some people are going to rub you the wrong way no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, this is a really important one. Remember who loves you. Yeah. We don't. We take that for granted.
No, it's crazy.
We really take it for granted. Okay. I've got a shorter reel today.
Okay.
But I think we need to hear it anyway. Because we take this for granted, what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Especially those of us who grew up hearing this over and over, and it's like, okay, God loves me. No, that's like a life-changing, shattering truth that should change everything about us. God knows who you are to your core. He knows the goofy things you think about. He knows what breaks your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He knows about the big dream you're too scared to put on your vision board.
Right.
He knows the breadth and depth of your personality. He knows every quirk, every flaw, everything that makes you delightful, everything that makes you annoying. And he loves you full stop without you doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he will never change his mind about you.
Right.
His approval isn't handed out based on merit, but by mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we once we fully understand and embrace that we have God's approval, we can stop chasing everybody else's. And that is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What an impossible burden to drop. I want to be free of the stress of spinning all the plates to make everyone like me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop the crippling thoughts about not being enough. And it is freedom to let it go. When we drop the need to be approved of and the need to be constantly validated and liked by everyone, we can rest and stop the stress and the made-up narratives and then actually find the true belonging we're after. Find our actual people. I've said it before for different topics, but when we put our sense of worthiness, of goodness in something temporary, the result will only ever be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep having to chase down something else to get the feeling again. Kind of sounds what I said about it being a drug.
Right.
You know, in the same level of high, it's going to take more and more.
Yeah.
With God, it's different. It doesn't wear off because he's in a bad mood. Or because we didn't like his Instagram post, or because we disagreed with his opinion, or all of the ways the imperfect people around us are fickle, just as we are. Because when we realize that God says we're worthy of love, that's forever.
Right.
No more chasing, loved, approved of, and you will always belong.
Good.
It is good. We have to learn to be okay with that being enough.
Right. It's more than enough.
It's more than enough. It's like the one piece of acceptance that can satisfy our longing hearts. But we want this other cheap thing over here that will just hurt us.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one. You're going to focus on one. Focus on that one. Not that. Who cares that one lady isn't your best friend? Do you want to be hers?
No. That's the part that always gets me is that you actually don't want that, but it still matters.
Because if they don't like you, you probably
don't like them
all that much either.
Right.
Why are you just very different personalities? Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we're not all the same.
I know.
Focus on the two. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the people that love you?
Right.
Be yourself. Go out there and trying to be weird.
I want to be myself, you know, like, don't want to have to hinder things that I like. to make other people.
I want to get rid of all my boundaries and agree to stuff I don't want to do.
Right.
I don't have time for that anymore.
Oh, like, fun life. But I wish I'd have thought of those things or learned more about it a lot younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish it didn't wait until, like everyone says, that magical moment at 40 when you have no more squirrels to give. I wish I could have told 20-year-old Becky that. 15. But if you're out there and you're 15 or 20, turn it around.
Yes.
Don't waste your time.
Do not. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. There is approval that matters from the one thing you're probably not chasing. All right. This has been a summer of growth, man. Yeah,
it is. Let's let this go.
Oh, let's let it go and live in freedom.
Yes.
I don't want this burden. That's
exactly what we want.
All right. We like you.
Yes.
We approve of you.
100%.
As you are. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.